A.C. Green. Anybody know him? A.C. Green. They called him Iron Man. From November the 19th, 1986 to April 18th, 2001, he never missed a night. He played 1,192 consecutive games. It's an NBA record. It still stands. I think the closest that comes to that, it may be 500-ish games. I mean, this guy was consistent. He wrote a book about his story called Victory, and Green admits that his durability wasn't the real story. His real story was his ego. At Benson High School in Portland, Green called himself an egotistical maniac. He was the tallest, he was the fastest, he wanted to break every scoring record in the book. But his head coach said no. Coach Gray put the brakes on. Coach Gray forced Green to pass. He forced him to trust because the coach only cared about one statistic, the championship. And you cannot win a championship alone. It takes a team. Green wrote these words in his book. He said, "Children are selfish, and that natural selfishness has to be broken to be a winner. You have to realize you can't do it all by yourself." So here's the spiritual reality. In basketball, in team sports, and in life, you know, we start with the "what's in it for me" attitude, but the gospel deconstructs that. Ministry is not a solo sport. The gospel's not a private hobby. It takes a team. It takes a team. And that's the truth that I want us to see in our text today, especially as we consider global missions. Because it's not something that is a solo sport. It takes a team. Let me show you. Take your Bibles and turn in the New Testament book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 4. Verses 7 to 18, we're closing this magnificent letter to this house church 2,000 years ago in a city that just started to be excavated in southwest Turkey. And Paul's closing his letter, and what I want you to pay attention to is all the personal names that Paul gives here. My guess is if we were to ask Alexa the names of the people in Cambodia, she'd be able to tell us right off the bat who these folks were that she ministered with. And Paul has these names here. Don't breeze by these names. It'd be easy to treat these names like credits at the end of a movie. It'd be easy to head for the exits while the names scroll. But don't exit. Don't leave. This isn't just a list of names. This is what gospel partnership looks like if you're going to do global missions. This is what gospel partnership looks to be when Christ is supreme. This is a theology of how to do shared ministry. You want to know how to do shared ministry together as a family? These are our verses. And the global impact that takes place when we serve Christ together. It takes a team. Now today, we receive our offering, and all of it will go for our 14 global missionaries. And yes, we want you to take a copy of our global missionaries in this little booklet. It's fantastic, Michelle. Thank you so much. We don't support faceless missionaries. Although there are some faces in this booklet that you will not see because of where they serve. That's the risk. But we know their stories, we know their lives, we know them, and we need them. We need them. And I'm going to encourage you ahead of time when you take your booklet, make this your Advent devotional reading. And Commit yourself. I'm going to pray, you know, each day for one of these missionaries. And what will happen is you'll run out of missionaries before you run out of days in Advent, so you just go back up to the top. See, let's keep our missionaries globally in our prayers. We need them. We need them. Because you can't spread the gospel when you're in a silo. And this text tells us that Paul's team continued to share the greatest news on earth even when he couldn't take the field. This team embraced its mission even when their leader was stuck in prison. Well, let's hear these words from the Word, Colossians 4, 7 to 18. Tychicus will tell you all about my activities. He is a beloved brother and faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage your hearts. And with him, Onesimus, our faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you. They will tell you everything that has taken place here. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greets you. And Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, concerning whom you have received instructions. If he comes to you, welcome him. And Jesus, who is called Justice. These are the only men of the circumcision among my fellow workers for the kingdom of God, and they have been a comfort to me. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ Jesus, greets you, always struggling on your behalf in his prayers, that you may stand mature and fully assured in all the will of God. For I bear him witness that he has worked hard for you and for those in Laodicea and Hierapolis. Luke, the beloved physician, greets you, as does Demas. Give my greetings to the brothers at Laodicea and to Nympha and the church in her house. And when this letter has been read among you, have it also read in the church of the Laodiceans, and see that you also read the letter from Laodicea. And say to Archippus, see that you fulfill the ministry that you have received in the Lord. I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand. Remember my chains. Grace be with you. This is the word of the Lord. Do you hear the names? This is Paul's team. And only in his letter to the Romans does Paul conclude with more names. And like the church at Rome, Paul had yet to visit the church at Colossae. Yet he knew people. He had a network. Paul was a remarkable person. And he was no lone ranger. So here is the big idea that emerges from this text that I think really captures what we want to convey in this Sunday's Global Mission Sunday. Here it is. Partner with God, partner with each other, proclaim Christ. From the neighborhood to the nations, get it done. Partner with God, partner with each other, proclaim Christ. From our neighborhood to the nations, get it done. That's what we're going to see as we look at the lives of these stories. Here's what I want to do this morning. I just want us to walk through these verses just like one at a time and see how this big idea emerges in the stories of Paul's partners, because there's a story in each name, and I want us to find our story as we consider theirs. Okay? So let's start with verse 7. Tychicus. That's how you pronounce it. Well, that's just fake it till you make it on that one, right? Tychicus. Say that with me on three. One, two, three. Tychicus. Yeah, there you go. Tychicus. Who is Tychicus? Well, write down Acts chapter 20, verse 4. Acts chapter 20, verse 4. Tychicus is from the area around Colossae. He is from Asia. Asia in the Bible means modern-day Turkey. And Tychicus is just this trusty lieutenant. He is an apostolic utility player. And Tychicus will take the letter and deliver it to the church at Colossae. He will also deliver the church to the church at Ephesus. So in Ephesians 6:21, we learn that Tychicus will deliver both the letter to Ephesus, probably to Ephesus first, because it's along the coast, and then he'll go further inland to Colossae. That means he's going to make, they didn't have email back then. That means he's going to have to make a 5-week minimum journey from Rome to Colossae. He's going to walk, he's going to ride a boat, he's going to do more walking, and it's a process. And then when he arrives at Colossae, that means he's going to open the letter. So he's not like my, carrier for the packages that arrive on our front porch, the package gets left and I get the picture in my email telling me that it got delivered and then give me the comment, thumbs up or thumbs down on the survey. That's not what's going on here. What's going on is an apostolic representative is delivering an apostolic document and he's going to open this letter. He's going to read it to the church when the church gathers. And then after he's done reading to the church, he's going to fill in more details about the Apostle Paul and his health and well-being. And he'll probably do some Q&A. And we're not talking about a room this size. We're talking about a house church. So 40 or 50 max is what's going on here. He is Paul's proxy. How do you get the word out when the preacher is locked up? Tychicus. That's how. And Paul calls Tychicus beloved brother, faithful minister, fellow bondservant. He gives him three identities there. Beloved brother, faithful minister, fellow bondservant. And why? Because Paul wants them to listen to him. Paul says that Tychicus is qualified to speak as his apostolic representative. So to call Paul Tychicus, to call Tychicus bondservant is to use the same term that Paul describes himself, a fellow bondservant. That's how Paul describes himself in his other letters. So he's elevating Tychicus before his audience so that they know they're getting unfiltered truth. He will tell you all about my activities, verse 7. Standing next to him, Onesimus. Now, this is the scandal of the passage, because Onesimus was a runaway slave. He had stolen from his master Philemon and fled to Rome. And in the providence of God, Onesimus met the Apostle Paul. The bondservant of Philemon met the bondservant of Christ, and Onesimus was converted and became a Christian. And after he'd become a Christian, and after his clothes had dried from the baptism that he received, Onesimus is like, "What do you want me to do, Paul?" And Paul says, "I need you to go back to Philemon. You got to make amends." And that was a risky venture because he was a runaway slave. It was a slave culture. And Philemon held over Onesimus the power of life and death. So Paul sent him back with Tychicus. Oh, by the way, we learn in the letter to Philemon in the New Testament that Philemon lives in Colossae. And in fact, Philemon hosts the house church. Yeah. Talk about tension. Talk about tension. But look, did you notice in our text here? Paul does not call Onesimus a bondservant. What's he call him? What's the text say? See it in verse 9? Faithful and beloved brother, one of you. Do you see what's going on here? He alters Onesimus's primary identity. Onesimus, the kingdom of Rome may see you as a slave, but in the kingdom of God, you stand as a faithful brother in Christ, and you will bear witness to the Colossian church about what you've seen concerning Paul in the city of Rome. There's a sermon there, don't you think? In Christ, your past does not define your future. Onesimus is no longer a runaway. He's family. He belongs. Isn't that what every heart longs for? A father who loves us even when we fail? And the good news that is in Jesus Christ, we have a father. And our father shines brightest when our world is darkest. And his grace runs deepest when our devotion runs dry. Did anybody bring a bag of regrets with them into this room here today? Listen to me. Listen to Paul. Listen to the gospel. Grace means that our failures are not fatal. Grace means that we can stand before God fearless because in Christ we are accepted. Grace means that right now there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Do you believe that? Maybe this helps us understand why the Apostle Paul sent a delegation instead of just mailing the scroll and sending it by way of a professional courier. See, he understood the incarnational principle that truth needs flesh and blood. Truth needs a voice. Truth needs eyes that you can look into. You cannot hug a letter. You cannot cry on the shoulder of a theological treatise. And Paul sent Tychicus and Onesimus because he knew that the Colossians needed more than just correct doctrine. They needed to see the presence of Christ in another human being. They needed the embrace of grace. Anybody need that today? Well, let's keep reading. After Tychicus and Onesimus, Paul sends greetings from six other teammates here in verses 10 and following. And it's interesting, three of these teammates are of Hebrew ethnicity, and three of these teammates are of Gentile or Greek ethnicity. But I want us to focus on this word greet here for just a moment, because it appears five times in the text. Five times this word greet shows up. What's that about? Well, the word literally means embrace. Embrace, to draw one to oneself. To greet means I see you. I'm glad to see you. I desire community with you. I enjoy you. We live in a culture of isolation, and people are starving to be seen. And when you walk into a church, or when you walk into work, and you walk into the neighborhood, you have a superpower in your pocket. The greeting. The greeting, to greet like a Christian, is not just to say words. It's to give a word through your eyes, warmly. And when you do that, you're preaching the gospel without words. You're acting out what Jesus did for us in Ephesians 2:13, when Paul says there, "We were far off, but he has brought us near." Verse 10 says, "Aristarchus greets you." He embraces you. He sees you. He longs for you. He misses you. He loves you. And Paul calls him a fellow prisoner. So he's doing time with Paul. I mean, he just didn't come on a weekend visit and then left. He sat under arrest so that Paul wouldn't have to be alone in prison. Whoa. Now there's a brother, huh? And then there's Justice. Paul calls him a faithful brother. And then there's Mark. You see Mark there? Mark, who's he? Well, this is John Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, verse 10. Who's Barnabas? Well, write down Acts chapter 15. In Acts chapter 15, So Paul and Barnabas were once partners in ministry. And sometimes partners disagree. And in their case, first missionary journey, Mark abandoned the team. He deserted them, and he left the mission field. And later on, Barnabas wanted to bring Mark back when they went to return on the second missionary journey. And Paul said, well, I'm not going with him. And Barnabas said, well, I'm not going without him. And they had a conversation. And it was actually, the scripture says, a sharp dispute. A sharp dispute. And so much so that they split. Paul took another brother named Silas, and Barnabas and John Mark then left. But here, it appears that the rift has been mended. Paul says, if he comes to you, welcome him. Welcome him. So the team has been restored. Thank you, God. God's grace can repair partnerships in God's time. In God's time. So don't write people off. Don't write people off. The story's not over yet. Sometimes when there's a divide, there's a divide. But even then, leave the porch light on. Well, let's keep moving. In verses 12 and 13, Paul gives a shout out to Epaphras. Epaphras, he was the one who planted the church at Colossae. And Paul notes Epaphras' intense prayer life on behalf of the Colossian church. He says he's always struggling on your behalf in his prayers. And that Greek word is our word agonizing. He isn't just casually praying. He's going to the mat for your spiritual maturity. Epaphras, I want to pray like him. When we pray for our global missionaries, let's put on Epaphras and let's wrestle, struggle with God as we lift up our brothers and sisters and their ministry assignments. And then verse 14, Paul says about Luke. He calls Luke the beloved physician. Even Paul, who raised the dead, needs a doctor. God cares about our bodies as well as our souls. And then Paul writes this phrase, you see it? As does Demas. As does Demas. No title, no commendation, and no comment. Why? Well, later on in 2 Timothy 4:10, we read these chilling words. For Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. It's an unnerving reminder, isn't it? Not everybody who starts with you finishes with you. And you can even be on Paul's team and miss grace. You can have the appearance of godliness but deny its power. You can sit in the pew, or for that matter, behind the pulpit, and miss Jesus. Well, Nympha hasn't missed anything. Look at verse 15. She's hosting and shepherding a house church in her home, evidently in Laodicea. So she's loving on the saints, and Paul tells the Colossians, listen, when you're done reading this letter, swap with Laodicea, or as my grandson Elias would say, share your resources, share your encouragement. You may be in two different locations, but you're one church, you're partners. You see what Paul's doing? He's deconstructing this notion of an independent church. He says, don't be an island. Partner with God, partner with each other, proclaim Christ from our neighborhood to the nations, get it done. Get it done. Don't you see? Don't you see this list of names? This isn't just a roll call. It's a case study of what Colossians 3:11 looked like. Colossians 3:11? Here, There is no Jew or Greek, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, for Christ is all and in all. Why does Paul say that? Because that's who's in the church at Colossae. Look at Paul's team. He's got a runaway thief, a wealthy woman hosting a house church, a Jewish aristocrat, a Gentile physician, a redeemed quitter, a fervent prayer warrior, and a solid utility player. We're all here. This is Christ's church. This is the gospel in action. Hear me. When we talk about redemptive kingdom diversity and the beauty of our multi-ethnic congregation in Christ, the kingdom, that's not just in the future in the book of Revelation 7, 9 to 11. That's in the present. That's in the now. It's in the Colossians 3, 11 of our day. And grace is what makes this possible. Because grace creates partners. Grace restores usefulness, not just salvation. See, failures are not final, and they don't disqualify you from the kingdom. They become a backdrop for God's glory. And so from the courier who carries the letter to the prayer warrior, Ephesus, who agonizes for the church, to the pastor, Archippus, who needs a nudge, we're all bound together. Oh, Archippus, let's talk about him. Look at verse 17. How would you like your name called out in front of the whole congregation? Huh? Yeah. And say to Archippus, see that you fulfill the ministry that you have received from the Lord. Whoa. There's no escaping that. Not in a little house church. And notice the communication chain. Don't miss this. Usually, Paul talks to the leader to instruct the church. But in this case, he tells the church to encourage the leader. See? Wonder why that is. Maybe Archippus was stalling. Maybe he was afraid. Maybe he was fatigued. Maybe he was distracted. And so Paul tells the congregation, you go tell him. You go nudge him. You go remind him. God's given you a ministry. It's from the Lord. You didn't think this up, Archippus. God gave you this assignment. See it. Pay attention to it. Focus, man. Fulfill it. Finish what you started. Get it done. Land the plane, baby. Yeah, that's a good word. Because truth be told, sometimes we preachers need prodding. And other times we need God's people to come around us and just say, hey, because we love Christ and we love you. Now get it done. Fulfill your ministry. Archippus doesn't always take stage behind a pulpit. Archippus, are you here in this room today? You here right now? Can I just say to you, as your brother in Christ, broken and redeemed by the blood of Jesus, God's given you a ministry. And maybe it's in your home. Maybe it's at your workplace. Maybe it's serving right here, right now in the church. And for some reason, you've hit the pause button. Why? Well, would you please consider the words of Johnny Erickson Tata? Who nearly 60 years ago, she was in a diving accident that paralyzed her from the shoulders down. And she was once asked what it was that keeps her going. And here's her response. She said, this is the only time in history. What life are you waiting for? This is your shot. Eternity is going to be celebration. But right now, the clock is ticking. This is not preseason. It's the real game. Now step up. Fulfill your ministry. Partner with God. Partner with each other. Proclaim Christ from our neighborhood to the nations. Get it done. Get it done. Well, we're down to verse 18. Last verse, imagine the scene. Paul has been dictating this letter to a scribe. And they've gone through various drafts. But here they got the final copy here. Colossians was professionally produced by scribal copyists. And he gets to verse 18, and all of a sudden, Paul reaches out, his hand heavy with iron from being in prison. He takes the pen from the copyist's hand. And all of a sudden, the writing style changes. The letters get large and jagged, and here are these words, literally. The greeting by my hand, Paul. Why did he do that? To authenticate the letter. To ensure them, this is really from me. And then he writes the words that stop you in your tracks. Remember my chains. Are a badge of honor. And Paul says, I'm paying the price for this gospel, and it is worth it. So don't give up, because I haven't given up. Partner with God, partner with each other, proclaim Christ from the neighborhood to the nations, get it done. And then these final words, grace be with you. Literally, the grace be with you. This is Paul's style. See, do you know this? He starts every one of his letters with grace to you. And then he fills the letter with doctrines of grace. And then he concludes every letter with grace with you. Grace to you, grace over you, grace with you. Paul is saying goodbye. Jesus goes with you. Do you know that? Do you believe that? Will you carry that in your heart with you? As we head into Thanksgiving and to Advent, this is the truth that we need to carry. Not just that you are saved, but that the grace of Christ embraces you. That the grace of Christ is with you. That grace is God's unmerited favor. That grace has financed your adoption in Christ. And grace makes you secure even when you don't feel secure. Grace guarantees your inheritance in the new heavens and the new earth. Grace is strength for the present. It accompanies you into difficult conversations. It walks with you in lonely seasons. It sustains you in the battle. Grace means that he who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it in Christ Jesus. Do you believe that? It starts and that is the book of Colossians. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this journey through Colossians. We have seen Jesus, supreme over creation, sufficient for salvation, sovereign over our lives. We confess that we often try to live this life alone, and we retreat into silos, and we hide in our pride. Oh, God, forgive us for that. And thank you for the reminder today that we need the team. Thank you for our global gospel partners. Thank you for the Tychicus who comes to encourage us. Thank you for the archippus in every seat today, for the one who is hesitating, for the one who has hit the pause button on their ministry. God, awaken them by your Holy Spirit. Give them the courage to say yes to the assignment. And let them see that the clock is ticking and the battle is real. And the privilege is ours, but the victory is yours. And God, as we leave this book, may we never ever leave your presence. And let the word of Christ dwell in us richly. And may everything that we do, whether in word or deed, be done in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. In Jesus' supreme, strong name, we pray. And everyone said,
Amen.